Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of New You City Chat. I am Danielle Mercurio, and I am so excited that you are listening in with me this evening. It's going to be a really fun episode. For those of you that have not listened before, my show is called, as you just heard, New You City Chat, and it's based off of my company, New You City, where I am a lifestyle city expert and coach. I like to work with people that live in a big city, have recently moved to one, or are just having trouble adjusting. Cities can be a lot of energy. They can be overwhelming at times. So I encourage everyone to try to find those little peaceful moments where you can find Zen throughout the city in your day. And I love to bring guests on my show because while I feel like I have a lot of value to add and wisdom that I can provide you, I feel that there are even more people out there that have even more to say, and I love to have them come on and engage with me. And so that way you are learning double of what you would have otherwise. And for those of you that haven't listened before, you also can be aware that you can call in to the show at any time as well. We love to have people call in with any questions that you might have or comments, or sometimes I've had someone call in and say, can you repeat that? Please, feel free. You may do so. The guest call-in number is 646-716-9397, and we also have a chat room area as well. If you're listening via blogtalkradio.com, you can find our chat room. Typically, it's when you're on our page, blogtalkradio.com/lifecoachradionetwork. If you scroll through where the show episode is, you'll see a little chat room at the bottom, and you can participate that way. It's completely anonymous if you choose to be, so you can go on and you can say whatever you want. You don't feel like you're asking a stupid question, though note there are never stupid questions. They're not silly. They came out of you for a reason, and they need an answer, and that's what we're here for. And throughout the show, feel free to tweet as well. My handle is New You City, and you know, it's a lot of fun. So this is going to be really engaging. We're going to talk about this idea of all or nothing. You know, when we think about when we have to be healthy or we want to lose weight or we want to start working out more or whatever it is that we want to do, what do we automatically think about? We think about all the things that we have to start cutting back on. We have to start thinking about all the time that we're going to have to now put into or invest into this new healthy habit that we want to create. And it kind of seems like a draining thing. You know, how many times have you said, oh, the diet starts on Monday? Why do you wait till Monday? Because you know that it's kind of just like this overhaul, and it means that, oh, that's when all my fun is going to stop, right? And so you just kind of push it off. And the theme of tonight's show is to kind of avoid that thinking. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. When it comes to a healthy lifestyle, it doesn't have to be black and white. It doesn't mean that you could never have a cookie again. How many times have you said that you were going to swear off ice cream forever, or that no matter what, from now on, you are always going to get up and you are going to go to the gym 6 times a week, no matter what? And you kind of make this like your new prophecy or your new like fate, if you will. And it's kind of overwhelming, especially when you're first starting something new, to put such stress on yourself. And so we want to talk about balance. We want to talk about the idea that you can be healthy, but you need to ease into it. And you need to still enjoy the life as you know it now. It doesn't mean that you have to cut out everything. And so that's going to be a big concept of our show tonight, to show you that you can do what you love, and that you can also make being healthy fun too. So while you're balancing out how to have a healthy lifestyle, how to maybe have a little bit more what I like to call gentle discipline, you can also find ways that being healthy is actually fun. And that is going to be a big part of our show tonight. So for tonight, I'm really excited to have Angela Ruckelman on. She is actually a veteran radio host here on the Life Coach Radio Network. She joined the show literally like right when it, I want to say when it's premiered. She'll correct me when she comes on. But right when the network premiered a year ago. And so I remember actually when I joined the network about a month or so later, seeing her as one of the top hosts because she already had a couple shows under her belt. She had a solo show going. And I was like, wow, I was like, this girl, like, she's on fire. Like, she's doing it. And I thought it was really impressive. And so throughout us being on the network together, we've gotten to know each other We also collaborate on the Life Coach Television Network together, which I have mentioned before. It's a channel that we have on YouTube, and we post a ton of fun, resourceful, informative videos for you through the YouTube channel. And that's on YouTube, Life Coach TV Network. So we do that together. And then we were able to meet in person that way, which is awesome. We both live in the New York metro area. And then this past February, as part of the Life Coach Radio Network, we actually got to collaborate on a workshop together. And the workshop that we did was very much around this theme of how to have a life and be healthy at the same time. And we had a lot of fun with it. And so that's what made me think, I need to have her on my show, because Andrea is so energetic, so full of life, and just has so much charisma and spirit, and will really help get you in a motivative state and wants you to exceed. She wants to see you do really well. She wants you to accomplish whatever it is that you're looking to do. And I really, truly admire that about her. And just a little bit more about Andrea. She is I'm just going to read her bio, so let's go for it. So her company is called Run to One Coaching, and when Andrea was a child, her family used to volunteer at the New York City Marathon, handing out cups of water, and at 7 years old, she stated that one day she would participate in that race. Growing up, the thought of even running a single mile was completely dreadful, and so the thoughts of a child were dashed. It wasn't until 2005 that she finally said okay to running and did her first 5K race. And honestly, it was an utter disaster in her mind, but she finished it. A few years later, she tried again, but this time she trained properly, surrounded herself with people who would encourage her, and changed her mindset about the training. That was the beginning of her journey to fulfill the dreams of a 7-year-old child. Within 5 years of her first K, Andrea completed in several half marathons and ran in the New York City Marathon. Today, Andrea is helping others achieve their running fitness goals by clearing the emotional and mental hurdles that typically prevent them from reaching their goals. She, too, is still trying to understand what the runner's high is all about and understands how learning to run later in life is quite different than running growing up. The mindset is different, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means you take a different path. So with that, I am going to bring Andrea live on the air with us. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Thank you for that great intro. I don't even know how to say thank you, because that was fantastic. I'm really excited. The energy that you and I have doing these things has got me pumped, so I'm trying to just keep myself calm, because when we last did this, it was just a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to what we create tonight.
Absolutely. And, yeah, it's for sure. I think when we're in person together, there's so much magnetic energy going on that we were literally, like, bursting at the seams. Like, I don't think I don't think we were still at all during our workshop. Like, one of us was always moving at one point or another. Like, I think we were just kind of bouncing off each other in that way.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. Even that whole weekend, it was this energy, like, you know what?
No, that's true, actually.
I know.
Yes. No, I love it. So I think it works so well. And for everyone that's listening, too, some exciting news. Andrea just got married 2 weeks ago. So congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you very much. I have to say, it's been a whirlwind of a couple of weeks, and I still have a hard time saying my husband. It's a weird word. You go from saying boyfriend and then that funny word, fiancé, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, hubby. But eventually like anything else, and old news, and then it'll just be like the, hey, you.
Right, that guy. Oh, that guy that, you know, I did that ceremony with that one time, him. Well, congratulations. I think it's super exciting. So, and I wish you well in that chapter. And in addition to that, you really are starting a new chapter as well with your coaching. So I told everyone a little bit about Run to One. But before that, you had a completely different coaching niche, which was gaining perspective, which I thought was an amazing concept. But then throughout that, and you would do it, and you would excel really well at it. However, I noticed how into running that you were getting. And, you know, I'm a runner as well, and so we would talk about it. And then you would talk about how great it was just encouraging everyone else around you during the races and the support and all of it. And then all of a sudden one day you were like, oh, by the way, I'm going to be a running coach now. And I was like, oh, my goodness. This just clicks. This makes such sense. It's such a brilliant idea, because there are so many people that are into this, and especially like you, you know, it was mentioned in your bio that people kind of want to start to get into it later in life, but it can seem a little bit intimidating. So how great is it to have someone at your side holding you accountable and letting you achieve these goals? So I just thought, in general, I think it's an incredible niche, and I just think it's really impressive that you found something that you connect with so well, and you weren't afraid to say, this, the way I'm coaching now, it's working and it's great, but this can be so much better and I'm going to find a way to do it, and you did, and I think that's really impressive.
Thank you. The thing that was so amazing to me is that during this process, my previous coaching experience, which I still do because I still do have passion for people and finding a voice in culture and organizations. So New Perspectives Communication does exist, and my radio show, which was Gaining Perspective, was really focused on some of that corporate-type environment and things. But one of the things that I realized is that naturally people were coming to me asking tons of questions about my whole running experience. And the type of experience such as when I felt down, when I was upset about something, or when I was happy, and how did I get through some of the emotions that were a little tougher, or what about if I had a bad day at work, or it was raining in the morning, and how did I overcome some of the excuses? And so it was just this really interesting vibe that I would get from different people, and eventually I started this Couch to 5K group with a group of women that were in their 50s and some have never run before in their life. And in 9 weeks, they ran their first 5K, beating the time that they ever thought that they would have, continue to run in this day and age, and this is, you know, 9 months later, that they've taken this on. And they said it was so easy because it was about them. And that's when it really clicked for me, because running is really about an individual. You're not competing against others. It's really about you and overcoming what it is you find as a hurdle. So as I say, I like to help clear those emotional and mental hurdles that we put in front of ourselves. I can't tell you how many times that I heard, what are you, crazy? Why would you do that? That's just stupid. Oh, you're going to get injured. Running hurts your knees. It's bad for your hips. It's this, that, the other. But it all came from people that never tried it or never learned to understand what the experience is. And really what it is it's just words that you would say to yourself to make it okay to not have to do something. But as you get older, I started looking at it in the way of, what can I do now in this stage of my life that's a challenge? You could go to school and you could learn more and you could do all that, but what is truly a challenge that I could take the lessons in learning how to run and how to be successful at it and overcome all these obstacles of the self-doubt, the outside chatter, you know, just being aware of everything and not having any judgment on myself or the people around me, just doing it for me, made such a difference for being able to address the other areas of my life, because I could turn back to running, and not only for myself, but for the other people that I've worked with and helped coach them through, that it transforms from a physical aspect of your life to the emotional, to the mental, to the family relationships, to the business relationships, to every different aspect of their life. And so that's why I'm very passionate, and I'll just keep talking, so I'll stop right now.
No, I love it. You had me completely engaged. I was like, she's right. Yes. And I'm just, you know, and for me, I love my guests because I learn so much and I'm constantly just writing things down like, oh, that was good. Or, oh, this is really great. So you had me hanging on. I was happy. No, I think
excellent.
It's great.
And I know we have some other things to talk about here. So I want you to be able to really get into some of that because we have some great stuff.
Yes, no, we absolutely do. So thank you for catching that. And, you know, kind of I would love to just start a little bit about, you know, what I was saying before, the whole idea of this all or nothing thing we have. We have an idea in our head. We're saying, you know what, my pants aren't fitting as good as they used to, or maybe my doctor said, you know, you need to start watching my heart. Maybe, you know, there's a scare, a diabetes scare, or just anything that we have to change in our daily regimen. So we have this whole idea of, okay, I need to make a change. I need to start being healthy in one way or another, whether we want to start with the physical, we want to start with the eating habits, maybe it's just getting our emotional and mental state in it. And I think when it comes time to start, we can be very gung-ho. We can be very ready. I feel like you and I both can say, when someone comes to us and says that they're ready to lose weight or they're ready to start a workout regimen or whatever it is, they know what they need to do. They're gung-ho. They actually don't really need too much guidance. But then as the first few weeks start to slip in, we start to get into what you were talking about, these excuses and these quote-unquote, well, now, before you wanted to do something, now it's becoming, well, I have to do that. And it changes the dynamic of the exercise or the practice or the thing that you wanted to add into your lifestyle to help bring you a healthier, happier state. So when it comes to excuses and has-tos, how do you approach that with someone?
Well, the best way to start off is asking somebody what it is that they're doing when they start. And when they say that I'm ready, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to do everything right, I'm going to exercise, they go into the all and nothing at the same time. I have to go for at least an hour every single day at the gym, and I have to give up all carbs because carbs are bad for you, and you can't eat carbs because that's not going to do anything for you. So I'm just going to work out really hard and not eat carbs and just eat salad all the time because salad's really good for you. So when you start from that aspect of it, you have to, I always ask people to back up for a minute. And I ask, so how do you go from doing absolutely nothing to 6 days a week for an hour every day? And usually it's, well, that's what you have to do, isn't it? And so, and then I'll carry them down through the line of, okay, so now we understand that in your mindset, based on some of your experiences and everything that has brought you to the point you are right now, you have a belief, and it's okay based on everything of your experience to believe that you have to do it this way. And when it comes to the food, and I tell you, it's 9 times out of 10 everybody's giving up carbs. It's got such a bad karma around it. But you know what? Carbs
Carba.
Are really important. Really important for your diet. So, you know, I say, well, where does this come from? Oh, well, I eat too much bread and I got to stop eating potatoes and pasta and take out all the rice and not eat any of that. Well, how often do you eat it? Well, maybe I'll have it with dinner or maybe I'll have a whole wheat sandwich. Or, and you find out that they don't have it to the point that it's over in excess. So you start working on what does excess of carbs mean to you. So you start breaking it down for everybody and saying, instead of thinking it, you have to give it all up, how can you change your mindset with it? And if you start working out by day two, how sore are you? Oh, my God, I can't even work. And by the third day, I don't even want to go to the gym. So I usually skip. But then the day after that, I'm even worse. So I kind of skip that day two. And then I start every Monday again. I'm going to work out 6 days a week. So it's that vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. So basically it's like, well, what does 10 minutes of activity look like to you? And, you know, people look at me like I'm crazy. But if you haven't done anything, it's my number one tip. If you haven't worked out for months or years or ever, start slow. Your heart has to get used to that movement. So 10 to 15 minutes of activity of getting your heart rate up and just seeing how that feels for a couple of days, and then you move forward. So that's how usually I work through with my clients is understanding of where does it all come from that they have these beliefs, let them know that it makes sense where it comes from, and then how do we change it.
I love it. I think that's so perfect, and I think it's brilliant that when you say, what does excess actually look like? What does it actually mean? Because you're right. You know, you could say, oh, I have to cut back on all these things. And it's like, well, how excessive were you being with it to begin with? And then you're like, wait a minute, I actually really wasn't. And so it's all in our head. And I like that you said all and nothing. You know, we have to go to the gym all the time and eat nothing. What a horrible way to live. Like,
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness, I just thought of it myself. Like, if someone told me that, I'd be like, oh, no, like, I'm going to go somewhere else. You know, it's such a terrible form of torture that we put onto ourselves, and it's so unreasonable, and we're so not able to think in a practical mindset. So I think it's really important that you stress that you need to make this something that is not only manageable but practical. And I believe starting out, you know, when you're thinking about, okay, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you feel you're capable of? And what is the ideal minimal amount that you're able to do? And it's okay to start there. It's okay to start small. We have a weird perception in our head that when we're starting a new project, we have to go really big. And it's like we have to let everybody know, and then we have to impress them and show them how we're doing it. And it's just too much for us to handle. And then what happens is we're not able to keep it up. We're not able to maintain it because it wasn't in a realistic boundary that we could set. And then we kind of drop off the whole thing. And then we kind of don't want to talk about it. When people bring it up, you kind of, that's where the excuses come in, right? That's when we say, oh, well, you know, it didn't work with my commute, or, you know, this or that. We just make up silly things to make ourselves just kind of seem like it wasn't our fault to begin with.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's great when you say that we make up silly things, but it's what we say to give ourselves comfort, to make it okay. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, most of what we do when it comes to diet and exercise is fear-based. You know, none of it comes from love. And I have someone that I know who was recently, as of yesterday, we were talking about how I was excited because I had ice cream the other night. I was telling a story how I got a flat tire in the parking lot of a Friendly's, and I was so excited to have my ice cream. And she asked me, you eat ice cream? What do you mean? You run. You're healthy. You're into fitness and in health. And I said, that doesn't mean I can't eat ice cream. I enjoy food. I enjoy life. I enjoy my desserts. You know, this is what it is. But I know how to balance it. It's a good balance of life and enjoying it. And she said, oh, God, no, I can't do that. I don't ever want to go back to where I was. I just can't do that. I'm afraid of getting fat. And my first comment to her was, you know, everything you say is based out of fear. Your fear of getting fat, your fear of overweight, your fear of falling off the wagon. But what if everything came from love? What if you loved feeling healthy? What if you loved feeling energy? What if you loved taking on opportunities to find new workouts and exercises and try food in a different way that you never had before? Imagine the opportunities and possibilities that you could have if instead of being afraid of life, of food and exercise, that you found love through it, you would be unstoppable. And it was a long pause, and it was one of those, I'm not sure if it was an aha moment, but it was one of those things of, I never realized that I could put love for myself, love for food, love for health, love for energy in a way that is about being exercising and being healthy as opposed to I'm afraid to go back to where I was.
Yeah. That's really beautiful, and I think it's amazing that you express that and tell people that, because our society is, you're right, it's always fear-based, and even when you look at the shows like Biggest Loser or whatever, it's all about making sure you don't gain anything back, because if you do, that's bad. And when you look at these fitness instructors and whoever they are, they're always so lean and mean and cut, and they're always talking about how good they are. You read a magazine article and you read about how they eat lean protein and this and that. And I mean, for me, I used to be a yo-yo dieter, and I used to count calories, and I used to base my behavior based on what I ate. If I ate ice cream, I was bad that day. If I ate salads, I was good that day. And love really didn't play a part in any way or another. It just was all about, like you said, the fear. And you live your life chasing the happiness, chasing when I lose 10 pounds, then I'm going to be happy. Then things are going to be complete. And it doesn't matter that you know, I'm giving up all of this, because it'll be worth it, right? It'll be worth it in the long run. Because then I'll be happy, then I'll find the love. But if you can find the love now, if you can honor who you are now, and I know that's hard, especially when you're feeling unhealthy, when your pants are too tight, or it hurts to go to the gym, or whatever it is, that's not an easy place to be like, I'm in love with myself. But if you can find a way to start small, just saying, I want to make a commitment to being healthy because I love who I am. Or maybe you even want to just say, because I love my family so much, I want to work on this for them. Just finding a way to shift it from negativity and fear into happiness and love and self-respect and honoring who you are, is it makes a big difference. And again, it takes time. But I think if you can start to shift your mindset in that way, you'll slowly over time start to see that it gets easier.
Absolutely. And it brings us to the whole point of what we talk about, the have-tos. I have to do this. I can't do that. I must do this. And how we focus ourselves on that. And and it really is changing the word have to what do you want? What is it that you want? And I want to be skinny. Okay, well, what does skinny mean? And is it, do you want to be healthy? Do you want, because you could be skinny, you could starve yourself and be skinny, but you could also feel horrible at the same time. So what does being skinny mean? And in the aspect of, you know, I want to have energy. I always feel like I need to sleep. Well, what are you doing that is causing you not to feel like you have energy? And so just exploring each and every have to, and what is the quote-unquote excuse that we make around it? I know I have to, but. You know how that, don't you realize that that's always a sentence and it just goes like that?
Oh, yeah.
I know I have to, but.
Anyone that works with me knows that I say that butts are only allowed on the dance floor. That's it. Nowhere else.
And yours looks really good on the dance floor when you're dancing out there.
Thank you, Chica. I appreciate it.
I do really want to interject and just let the audience know that one of the best things of working with Danielle when we did our whole workshop was that in order to get ourselves energized, even though we have the most energy you could possibly imagine of two people together, we put on some good dance music and dance our butts off in order to prep and get in the mindset for all of it. So if you ever get the chance to meet Danielle, I certainly hope it's in a club somewhere where you're dancing or some music festival somewhere, because talk about a great workout. She'll just dance with you all day and all night long.
You're absolutely right, but it's true. Honestly, thank you. I'm glad you brought that up, because that really was one of my favorite moments with you ever, was our little solo dance prep party. So, yes.
It's going down in the history of fun movements. But that's a great point. You know, when we talk about it can be fun.
Right.
Too many people think, okay, you have to go to the gym, you have to run, you have to do weights, you have to do this. But you know what? How often do you work out versus how often do you dance?
I dance a lot. And honestly, when I'm not dancing, I'm walking, because I love living in the city and I love walking around. So I find ways that I can be physical and still enjoy things and still do what I need to do too. It's a way, you know, I can say I don't have time to the gym because I have to do this and I have to do that. So it's like, well, let me walk to this place as opposed to getting on the subway, because honestly, it probably takes the same amount of time. So it's finding ways that I can still have fun and actually still manage my time really well too.
Exactly, and that's the thing. Like you're combining a whole bunch of different things all at once. And during that walk, it's not like a stroll. You're power walking, girl, and your heart rates up. And sometimes you're like, "Ooh, I got a little warm doing that." And that's the thing of what is the whole point for people is that, think about it. One of my New Year's resolutions, and I hate resolutions, but I made this one because it's actually a good one to do. I will never leave the shopping cart by the car. I will walk it back to where the carts are supposed to go. And it's like one of those things that it's lazy, it's inconvenient, whatever it is. But you know what? Take a walk and put it back. It's like one of these things that, like, I just want to get in the car and get home and do what I need to do. But you know what? Take the 5 extra minutes and walk, put it back. Walk back to your car. You'll feel better about yourself, and you're doing something better for the environment and for the people around you, because I tell you, those shopping carts get dinged up all the time, and I always end up with the broken wheel one in the shopping store.
I love it. It's true. And honestly, think about it. 50 years ago, people didn't say, oh, you know, I have to go to the gym, or I'm going to go work out, or get. We didn't have, you know, Nike stores, and we didn't have city sports. We didn't have yoga classes. People just went outside, and they went for a walk, or they did this, or they did that. They worked around the house, and they were able to stay physical. They were able to stay in shape. They didn't have to do all these things like going to the gym and whatnot. They made it work, right?
Absolutely. So, I remember growing up having to do all the yard work.
So you found a way. So it doesn't have to be this big to-do that we've made it into nowadays with, you know, don't get me wrong, like, if I could belong to Equinox, I probably would, because I think it's fabulous. But at the same time, you don't have to go to that extreme in order to have a healthy lifestyle. You can find fun ways. You can get a group of girls together and go out dancing like I like to do. Or you can, you know, whatever it is that you know, find a friend that you can go for a walk in the park with and catch up with. Instead of, you know, sitting around and talking, you can walk around and talk. And it can be fun. It can be manageable. So I think it's great to bring up that idea of the balance piece and, mm-hmm. and whatnot.
And you also brought up a good point of, like, go find a friend and go for a walk in the park. So and when it comes to fitness and movement, and so this is one of the things that I always work with first with people, is to understand who the personality is and what do they like. If you're someone who is very competitive, you're going to like team events where they're like boot camps or something, or a CrossFit, or anything that has you like fun summer league type stuff. There's football. There's all these different things that you can do. But if you're someone who kind of likes to be an individual, that it's really about you, then that's where people that I would say running is a good thing, because that's really about yourself. Yoga is another thing that's really about you quieting the mind, helping you relax, stretching you in ways, Pilates, all those different types of things. But if you're someone who likes to have fun, maybe it is a Zumba class. Maybe it is a pole dancing class. And I'll tell you, those classes, pole dancing classes, you may joke about them, but that's really tough to do if you have to hold yourself up.
Yeah.
So it's not that
I tried it once. And, yeah, I tried it once. It was not pretty. I have not been back. I said one day, but oof.
Yeah. But that's okay.
But you're right.
You tried it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the
exactly.
whole thing. You have to find what works for you. And so just mm-hmm. because your friend is really into something, it doesn't mean you're going to be into it. But you can actually meet a whole bunch of new people and new friends and find different things that you can share. And I tell you, if you're on Facebook, there's a group for everything. And
mm-hmm.
I belong to a women's running community Facebook page. And they always do their Transformation Tuesday, and you see the huge difference these women make in themselves and what they've overcome and what they've done. And they also talk about things like what's going on in their personal life, or are they needing support in general, or they talk about, I have to tell you guys, because my non-running friends don't get it. So you can find whatever it is you like, and you're going to find the support for it also. One of the great options out there is Meetup. How many times have you used Meetup, Danielle?
Yeah. Oh, my God. All the time. I love it. I love it for volunteering. I belong to an EDM for girls group, which is girls that like electric dance music, and I know that I can just go to them and they'll totally get it. They won't be like, oh, like I don't feel like it, or blah, blah, blah. Like, they're just on board, and it's awesome. And so, and you can find it for so many different things, and it's beautiful, so you don't have to feel isolated, and you don't have to feel like there's something wrong with you if you don't like doing something that a one friend does. That just means that's not for you, but there's bound to be another outlet, and if you don't want to do it alone, there's bound to be other people that will be able to do it with you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so find your community, and don't be afraid, because everybody that is doing what you're doing is starting from the same exact place you are.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
It's okay to be afraid, but share that fear with others until you get comfortable.
Yes, I agree. I agree. All right, so with that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk even more about this whole concept and how we can really start to minimize a little bit more of the judgments and the self-doubt and the chatter that goes on in our mind, because I want to get into that a little bit deeper. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. So, like I said, we're just going to take a quick little break, and we use this break as an opportunity to talk about the Life Coach Radio Network. So as you know, you are listening to it right now, and as I was mentioning earlier in the show, we've hit our one-year anniversary, which is really impressive. Throughout the course of a year, we've had, I'd say, well over 50 different Life Coach hosts with their own shows or coming on to our group shows that we have, and it's just been an amazing experience. We've been able to meet so many different people. We were able to launch the Life Coach Live Radio Network Weekend, which I did with Andrea back in February. We've done the Life Coach TV channel that's come from it. We're going to do a live anniversary show this Saturday. That's this upcoming Saturday, I want to say May 10th. It's going to be live from Russ Terry, who is the founder and executive producer from his home in New Jersey. I want to say it's at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that's going to be on our Life Coach Radio Network, so I'd love for you to listen to that. I think I will be participating. I haven't actually looked, but there's going to be a bunch of us in the room kind of all talking and sharing our wisdom and our memories and our experiences of the year. So it's going to be a really, really fun show. And in addition to that show, we have three networks in total now, the Life Coach Radio Network, the International Life Coach Radio Network, and the Life Coach Chat Channel. And they all give you a variety of different resources, different tools that you can use in your everyday life. And some of the shows that we have coming up, starting with one on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Life Coach Chat Channel, we have the show called Career Talk with Coach Trina. Are you sabotaging your career? How happy are you with your career? What are you doing to further it or not? Sometimes we overly sabotage our careers out of fear, lack of motivation, or low self-esteem. Learn how to stop self-sabotage in your career and how to boost your potential. Trina and her guest, Coach Tara Andrews of Joyful Coaching, will explore these topics. So you can join them on the Life Coach Chat Channel on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then on Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have the show Reclaiming Space, Aromatherapy, a tool to create positive changes in your life. And that's with Tracy K. Pierce, who is also on the Life Coach TV network with Andrea and I. And this show is going to be about the sense of smell and how it's a powerful gateway for change and healing that's often overlooked as a means of transformation. Did you know that aromatherapy can help with mental function and relaxation? It can assist you in overcoming fear, sadness, and grief. It can also empower you to accomplish your goals. In this episode, Tracy interviews holistic life coach Nina Jacobs, who will expose the powerful truth behind aromatherapy and how it can help you create positive change in your life. So that is going to be this Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Life Coach Radio Network. And one more we'll do on this upcoming, actually 1 week from today, on Tuesday, May 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the show It's Not Magic, Secrets to Great Health, Wealth, Family, Career, and Life in General. Life is not meant to be lived microwave style, but by paying close attention to how we eat, sleep, drink, think, and live. New fad diets live here, a quick fix there, a pill for this or an ointment for that. Get rich quick scheme here, and quality time spent in front of our iPhones and other devices have gotten us to unhealthy living and being. Join Tamara Robinson as she shares and contributes this wonderfully energetic conversation with fellow coach Connie Costello and Donica Treble as they dive into great tips on how to be healthy and live healthy. And that is on the Life Coach Chat Channel this Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, all the shows are available for you to listen to later on. If you didn't catch the live show, we have a full archive available. You can access via the Life Coach Radio Network, and you can find it through our iTunes channel as well. As always, you can just go to www.lifecoachradionetworks, that's plural, lifecoachradionetworks.com for all the information on that. And with that, we are going to bring Andrea back on the air. We've been having a great time talking about this whole idea of all or nothing, or you could say all and nothing, and how when we want to start a new healthy lifestyle, we go so gung-ho and we're so excited, but then we actually don't really plan it out so well, and we kind of sabotage the whole thing, and we set ourselves up for failure by taking on too much too soon and not really exploring what it is that we want to do. What would be fun for us? What would we like to do? What does weight loss actually look like? All these things that come into play that are so important when we want to transform into a healthier mindset that we just simply aren't incorporating. So we've gotten really deep into this whole idea of how you can start shifting from this mindset of being fearful of new healthy habits and into being more loving of healthy habits, and how that in turn can show your own self-love and really start to get you into a more positive mindset, so that you're excited about your healthy lifestyle and you're excited to work out and be healthy and have more energy and do all these things that are really great for you, and you don't dread them as much and you don't look at them as much of a chore. So it's been really refreshing having all this conversation with Andrea, and so we're going to bring her back on and we're going to get even deeper into it. So welcome back, Andrea. Hello.
Thank you very much. A lot of great stuff going on in this network and with all of your colleagues right now.
I know. It's pretty jam-packed, and everyone just has – there's so many different things. Like I was just saying, I mean, aromatherapy and, you know, career and just being overwhelmed by our society and the way it kind of functions, and we've become so just focused on things that aren't as important, and just so many great, valuable things. Every show is just amazing, so it's awesome, as you know. So.
Absolutely is, and I cannot believe that it has been over a year already. I will never forget my very first show, which was one of the in the beginning of this whole radio network show, and it was a great experience, and I just couldn't wait to keep growing and doing more, and I'm so excited for where it is and where we're going together as a group with the radio show and where the Life Coach Television Network is going to go and some of the stuff that we have going on. But I digress, and so let's get back into some of this stuff, and I really need to be mindful of the things that I'm talking about. And I'm saying that as a great segue for us to start talking about being mindful. And I remember that you and I had this whole conversation with a group of people about what does mindfulness truly mean. And there are so many different ways to define mindfulness, but it's the whole being present in the moment, knowing what you're doing, either being aware of it and accepting it for what it is, not having any judgment, but just paying attention. What is your emotion? What is your feeling? What is the energy around you? What is the weather like outside? What just occurred? So these are all things that we start thinking about when making our food choices. And the best thing I always say to people is that it's very common that when someone is tired and they choose not to go to the gym, that they'd rather just go home because they're really tired. And when they go home, the first thing they do is think about, I'm so tired, need something quick and easy to make. And what's quick and easy? Well, I can order some takeout and bring it home, or I can just make a big bowl of pasta with some sauce and just eat that. And why that's okay to do if you're mindful of it and accepting of what it is you're doing at that very moment, but it doesn't turn into 2 days, 3 days, a whole week, and then you fall down the slippery slope. So I'd like for you to chime in with some of your thoughts about mindfulness, and you're, if you don't mind, because I'm going to turn it on you, in one of the great things that I remembered is you talking about mindfulness. And I just talk about the cookies, which brings me back to the whole thing of Doritos are my biggest weakness. So,
yes. Cool,
and how that when I was younger, I ate an entire bag of Doritos. But you taught me so much in just that few moments you talked about the mindfulness and how it changed your way of looking at food. So I really think it's important for your audience to hear what you talked about.
Yes, well, way to turn it back on me. I love it. and thank you. I really appreciate that you were able to gather a lot of insight from it and use it going forward. So that's wonderful. So, yes, mindful eating. I mean, for me, it was one of my saving graces. Like I was saying earlier, I was a yo-yo dieter. I was always counting calories or points or trying something new. I was always focusing on the results. I was always focusing on the numbers, the numbers on the scale, the numbers on the box. Food wasn't really food to me. Food was just things I put into my body because I was supposed to, or it calculated in a way that made sense, or I was really upset and I wanted to be like, F the whole thing, and I would just binge eat and be like, I'm going to eat whatever I want and then feel really guilty or in pain. And I just never really had a good handle on food and eating. You know, every now and then I would have little moments of it or glimpses, but then it would fade away. And it wasn't until I got into meditation that I finally understood why. And for me, it was because I didn't have a real relationship with food. I didn't look at food as a way to nourish my body, as a way to explore what's going on, as a way to open up my emotions, as a way to not look at what I'm eating as making me a good person or making me a bad person. And so I started to look at food in a whole new way. And so what mindful eating is that there's no right or wrong, there's no judgment, there's no points, there's no calories, there is just the experience in the present moment, you, and whatever that food item happens to be. And so it's about tuning into how you're feeling in that moment. So let's say, like you were saying, you had a really long day at work, you're tired, you come home, you don't feel like you have any energy at all. What is it that your body is wanting in that moment? Is it wanting something crunchy? Is it wanting something sweet? Is it looking for that sugar high? It's honoring whatever it is that you're feeling and then taking it further to see what you need to honor that feeling. And sometimes in that moment, you might need a cookie because that's just you've had a long day. All you want is that freaking cookie. And if that's what you want in that moment, then I say go for it. But what I say is go for it, but also let me have a gentle discipline as well. So you can have half of that cookie and have a bite or two, see how it feels, and then go from there. So let's back up a little bit. So like I said, mindful eating is about you and the experience. It's about using all of your senses. So when you sit down to eat something mindfully, let's say that cookie, you can have that cookie, but you have to eat it in a mindful way. You have to look at it. You have to think about it. What is this cookie to me right now? What does this cookie represent? How is it going to solve my problems? I'm feeling really tired right now. Is it going to solve that for me? I had a really long day at work. I'm really stressed out about these bills that I have to pay, and I don't know how I'm going to pay them. Is the cookie going to be able to do that for me? Think about these things. It gives a new perspective, a new spin. If you were to eat the cookie, you want to eat it with all your senses. You want to look at it. You want to take it in. You want to, again, see what this represents for me. You want to feel it. What does it feel like in your hands? Does it feel like real, tangible food that you need? Question it. If it does, amazing. If it doesn't, that's okay too. See what you want to do with it from there. You might lose interest, or you might want to say, I want to keep going. And then you eat the cookie, and you want to taste it. You want to really taste it. Think about what it is that you are absorbing into your body. And it gives it a whole new experience. It gives you a whole new way to look at eating. And it kind of turns some things off that used to be a turn on from before. And what I used to do is, because like I said, I used to have trouble with binge eating, I would, when I first started mindful eating, I said, you know what, I'm not going to restrict myself anymore. Before, I would label foods as good or bad. Before, I would say you can only have this much, and then I would have more, and then I'd feel guilty. Now, I'm going to say nothing's off limits. I can eat whatever it is that I want. And I was like, this is awesome. And so for like, I would say the next few days, I ate whatever I wanted. I binge-eat, I went to town. Then it kind of lost a little bit of its effect. I realized it wasn't as special anymore when I said that I could have it, when I stopped restricting myself. I realized that it wasn't as special when I actually started tasting the food and actually thinking about where it came from and actually thinking about, as I started to get more into meditation and more into myself and more into loving who I was and actually feeling my body and realizing it was connected to my mind, that I didn't want to put some of these things into it anymore, that I wanted to actually start putting in things that would nourish it and give me energy in a good way and start to fuel my body and my mind in a way that aligned with what it was that I wanted to do in this world. So again, mindful eating is all about just being gentle with yourself, just exploring food for what it is and seeing it for what it is and taking away any kind of judgment. So I encourage you, if you were to try it on your own, let's say tomorrow you're at work and you're really stressed out, have some safe snacks on hand and see if that does anything for you. If it doesn't, have some snacks that you would quote-unquote are processed or something like that. have them on hand. Have a few of them and see how they make you feel. The thing is, it's all about just lessening that idea of restriction and just learning to become comfortable with the idea that you don't have to judge food anymore. And it starts to shift your perspective. So that's kind of how mindful eating has worked for me, and how I've started to encourage other people that I work with to start to look at mindful eating and to start to realize, again, it goes with this whole idea of balance, that you can have the piece of cake, you can have the glass of wine, and you should, because that's part of life and it's part of what you enjoy. And the less that you restrict yourself and the more that you allow yourself to have the things that you want, you realize you don't have to be so excessive. You realize that you are okay and you're satisfied with just what it is in that moment, and then you can move on to the next. And you can realize mm-hmm. the experience is more than just you and that food item. It's just about life in general, if you will.
I yeah. love it. Thank you so much for indulging me and sharing that, because it was the impact, and I want to share the impact that you had on me that day that we did this workshop together. I started thinking about food and how I started tying the emotion of being upset about not feeling good when I ate something. Now, I don't mean like depressed about that I can't believe I just had some ice cream, or depressed about, you know, mm-hmm. something else. I meant that physically I wasn't feeling well when I would eat something. And so mm-hmm. I really started paying attention and being very mindful of what it was I was putting into my body. And what I decided was is that I started noticing some difference. Excuse me, I'm second, I have to cough. One of the things that I noticed was that I would, in the morning, have, let's say, a whole wheat, whole grain English muffin with peanut butter and banana, and which is a very hearty breakfast, which is really mm-hmm. good usually after a run or something like that. And I'd have that at like 7 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, mm-hmm. I'm starving. And I'd go for a snack of some sort that was, like, healthy. It might have been, like, an apple or something like that. But then lunch, I would have, let's say, tuna fish or turkey on whole grain bread. And right. by 2 o'clock, I was out cold. You couldn't get anything out of me. I was tired. I was exhausted. And I just wasn't feeling very good. And so I started saying, okay, I know I don't have celiacs, and I know I'm not allergic to this issue. Excuse me. But mm-hmm. what if I have a bit of an intolerance? So I decided to say, let me take wheat out of my diet and just see what that does. Now, I had mm-hmm. done this years ago with dairy. I don't have a lactose issue. Like I said, I love my ice cream. But what I learned was mm-hmm. is that I had a milk casein issue. I would get sinus infections all the time and all these different issues. So I stopped having dairy on a regular basis. Once in a blue moon, I'll have something. So I decided to do it with the whole wheat and the whole gluten type situation. Mm-hmm. And I found that I had so much more energy. And I stopped. It was literally like that Monday, I stopped eating mm-hmm. regular pasta. Now I switched to one that's like soy, potato, base, and I started switching out things. And I can't really tell the difference, so I don't feel like I had to give anything up. I just learned to explore mm-hmm. other options. And so it was all that mindfulness, because I had this whole conversation with my sister, and it was like, oh, my God, I can never give up pasta. And I said, but I haven't. I found one that tastes really good, and there have been different brands. I've tried straight quinoa, straight brown rice. But this one was a combination of different things that made it taste good to me. And so I learned how to make these changes. And in 2 months of doing that, I felt fantastic. And so what I learned about myself is when being mindful of anything that I'm putting into my system, it's how does it physically make me feel? In my mouth, it may taste delicious for that moment, but if I am for hours dealing with an upset stomach or heartburn or reflux or anything like that, or wanting to go to sleep an hour after I eat my meal, it's not worth it to me. And mm-hmm. so that might be something for your listeners to think about too. You know, food may taste good, but how are you physically right afterwards,
yes.
45 minutes, a few hours later, at the end of the day, you know, how does it make you feel? And so the interesting thing is after my wedding, and I will cop to this, I was excited to go to this one restaurant and have fried chicken and ribs and mac and cheese, and I was like, I was going to give it to myself the one day and see if I was fine, I was fine. Well, I'll tell you this much, I was physically ill. Very
oh, no.
physically ill,
oh, no.
that the food did not, it was
oh,
just, I
yeah, not
it.
Happy.
So it was a lesson learned that my body does not like that. So from now on, I am going to stick as much as I possibly can with this new way of eating because I feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's so important, and I'm so glad you brought that up. Just be curious, you know. It's okay to be curious about your body. It's okay to explore new things and try out new foods. It doesn't mean that you're on a diet per se. It doesn't mean that, oh, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. It's just learning what works for your body and what's going to give you the fuel you need, what's going to help give you the energy, what's going to help your mental state, and what's going to work with your emotional state. So be curious, and I'm really glad that you found a way that works with your physical state. And you know, every now and then we test it like you did, which is completely natural. And while when it doesn't work out the way we want, it's not very fun, it is actually good to do that every now and then just to kind of keep yourself on your toes. And again, at the same time, you didn't judge yourself for doing it. It just, you know, it happened, and now you're back to this again. And so, again, I agree that a huge part of mindfulness is just curiosity. Again, no judgment, and just exploring and finding out what works best for you so that you can be your best self. And then that goes back to what you were talking about before, that whole idea of loving yourself. And when you love yourself, just like if someone came to you and said, hey, you know, I've been having these issues when I noticed that when I eat this, this seems to happen, what would you tell them? And you would explore it with them, and you guys would talk it out, and it would be great, and they would try it, and they would go about their way. Same thing goes for you. You want to treat yourself with the same respect as you would another. So that's a big part of it. So I'm glad you shared that. And with that, we're actually wrapping up on the hour already. This flew by as I knew it was going to with you. I was like, we are going to cover a lot clearly, which we really, really did. But I was like, it's going to go by so freaking fast, which it also did. So before we wrap, I would really love for you to leave our listeners with any kind of last really big golden nuggets that you have for them about anything we talked about tonight or just something else that you're feeling that you want to get out before the show ends. I'd love for
sure,
you to share.
Sure, absolutely. You know, to start, for my last thought is, when you hear go big or go home, don't think of it that way. It's, and for example, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Health is something that you have for the rest of your life. So learn and take the time to explore what works for you, because tomorrow is the first day of the rest of your life, and you don't have to look back on anything else. Start slowly. Make sure that you can do things properly. Don't forget to breathe. Know when to push it. And surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you. They're going to give you that positive energy, that aren't going to challenge you and make you feel bad about the choices that you're making. And so it's really about that. Find what inspires you. Find what motivates you, and use it to help you clear your hurdles and get across that finish line. So the only thing I would also like to share is my website, which is runtoonecoaching.com, which is R-U-N-T-O, the number one, coaching.com. And if you go to my events page on there, you'll see a lot of things that I have coming up in the works. Next week is Small Business Week, and as a participant in that, I have a free webinar, so please go and check that out and sign up for it, which would be on May 12th at 2 p.m. I'm sorry, May 13th at 2 p.m. So I would love if your listeners would want to check that out. And again, it's more about some of the stuff that we're talking now, but in further detail. And I also am giving a workshop in Montville, New Jersey on June 4th, which is also on there. So if anybody's in the tri-state area, check it out. See if it's something you're interested in. And I would love to have you attend. You could follow me on Facebook, Run to One Coaching. You could follow me on Twitter. Guess what it is? Run to One Coaching. And so Again, Danielle, thank you for this opportunity. It was so much fun getting the chance to be with you on the radio show, and now we just need to do a video together.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay, let's do that. Oh, my God, I would love to. All right. So that's already happening in the works. We're putting it out there. And ditto, I'm so glad that, you know, I got to have you on as well. Like, we've been able to do so many different fun things together, and I just knew that it was going to be so amazing having you on. I knew it was going to be really beautiful, high energy, and you just beyond exceeded all my expectations. You're so fun. You have such a great attitude, and you have this beautiful blend of just being really fun and high-spirited, but at the same time, like, you get right to the heart of the matter. Like, you can really just, like, talk to someone, and you can just get right to it and ask them the exact questions that they need to hear to get them out of where they are and where they're feeling stuck. And I think that's just such an amazing gift that you have, and I hope you know that and just continue to keep doing the work that you're doing, because it's really important and it's really making a difference.
Thank you so much. You just really warmed my heart.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, warm and fuzzy. Oh, well, thank you, darling. So, all right, so we will talk soon. And again, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Awesome. My pleasure anytime, and I'll have you on my show when it kicks off starting next month, second
Woo-hoo!
Thursday of every month.
I would love to.
All right, Danielle, thank you, and have a great night.
Okay, you too. Well, thank you so much again, Andrea. So much fun having you on. And for everyone else, I hope that you gained a lot of value from the show tonight. I think we really jam-packed it with a lot of great stuff for you, and I hope that it motivates you to be a little maybe less motivating or maybe a little less aggressive when it comes to taking on a healthier approach to your lifestyle, to realize that as part of the self-love you have for yourself, as part of the respect that you have for yourself, as a part of honoring what it is that you do, that you can take a more practical approach to a healthy lifestyle, to what you put into your body, to the way you move your body. And I hope that you realize that you can have fun with it. You can find ways to make it work for you. You can make it manageable. It doesn't have to be this daunting thing. It doesn't have to be fear-based. It's okay to be on a diet and love it. It's okay to love your workouts. It's okay to sit down with a group of friends at dinner and not talk about how bad you're being because of what you're eating. It's okay to talk about the fact that you're being awesome for what you're eating. If you want to eat that cake, and here's the thing too, most of the time when we see a piece of cake, and we're probably going to eat it. Whether we want to or not, we're probably going to eat that piece of cake. So you might as well eat it and enjoy it as opposed to eating it and feeling guilty the whole way through, right? So just think about your choices. Think about what road you want to take when the end result is probably going to be the same anyway, right? So just it's all about changing your attitude, shifting your mindset. And again, I hope that you found some value out of this evening. I know I did, and it definitely always just re-inspires me and gives me new little golden bits of wisdom. And for anyone that's in the New York area, I am holding this upcoming Thursday, speaking of combining fun and healthiness, I'm doing meditation and margaritas. We had it last month. It was a huge success, and we're going to have it again in New York City. It's right near Union Square where we're having it. It's at 7 o'clock. We're going to start the hour with an evening of meditation, quiet your mind from the day. We're going to be doing some sitting practices. We're going to do some, I've now incorporated dance meditation into the routine, and we're going to be doing some physical kundalini kriyas that will help block away or help with some of the blocks that you're having with your stress. And after we go through all the different meditations for that first hour, I'm going to make everyone margaritas. There'll be guacamole, and I'll be doing tarot card readings as well. There'll be 5 card readings for the upcoming or the current spring season, upcoming summer. So it's a lot of fun, 2-hour event, 7 to 9 in New York City, and it's a great way to show that you can, you know, have fun, you can balance, and do all the things you love, and it doesn't have to be one way or the other. And as always, you can reach me through my website, newyoucitycoaching.com. I'm on every social media platform you can think of through New You City, and I would love to connect with you. Till next time, our next show is Tuesday, the May 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'd love to have you tune in once again. And in the meantime, just keep dreaming, stay open to life's possibilities, and much love and much light to you. Thank you all. Have a beautiful evening.